there will be discussions about Halloween being held on the Friday night. I am not wrong here,
Why?
Guys. I am not wrong. Look
yes,
it up.
Yes, you are.
Look
when, when has that ever happened? Please, someone write in where that happened, where Halloween was on a Saturday and you did it on Friday.
The big boy.
Instead, after you worked all, after 90% of the country worked all fucking day, they then put on their costumes and went trick-or-treating instead of just having the full day to prepare on Saturday. They did it on Friday? What in what galaxy?
What
I'm
world?
Angry by this take.
At HitDPod on Twitter.
Yeah.
HitDPod@gmail.com. I am not wrong here.
Welcome into Hand in the Dirt, a gardening podcast about football. I'm your host, Michael Felder. If I sound tired, it's because I am. And I don't say that often, but this has been a week from hell, including going to the dentist and getting my first cavity of my entire life.
Hey, mazel tov.
It's a very small cavity, but she said she wants to make she's going to do a very small filling in a week or something, but it's my first one ever, so I don't know what to expect. So the voice you just heard is Stephen Hartzell. Hartzell, how you doing?
I'm great, buddy. Sorry to hear about your cavity, but you should know that the dentists are like the movie theaters, a failing business right now. So if they detect even the slightest cavity, they're going to ring you up for that thing, buddy. Sorry.
Ah, got it. Yeah, I like my dentist, though, and she does a good job. So there we go. We also have El Cerberino, Michael Cerber. How you doing?
I watched the new Borat last night.
How was it?
It had a heart, and it was really funny.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
I was pleasantly surprised.
Very nice.
Great success.
Yes.
All right. Folks, we're going to do a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit about Halloween stuff. We're also going to talk, obviously, some garden updates. We got a great update from one Liz Hartzell, which is going to be fantastic. I can't wait to get into that.
Hey-o.
Let's see. Going through some of the other things. We've got – whew, man, I am so tired. I'm trying to organize my thoughts in my mind, and I'm just trying to get it done. I'm looking at the doc. I'm going through this. The biggest thing that happened for me this week is kind of garden adjacent because it's cooking related. My wife, I love her. So she's so amazing. She got me Chef Vivian Howard's new book. This will make it taste good. And do you guys know Chef Howard?
I know that you are a very big fan.
Absolutely love her. She's the best. She's from like Kinston, North Carolina, has a restaurant, Chef in the F there, has a pizza spot, I believe, down in like Wilmington. Opening another pizza spot in Charleston. She takes like the food I grew up eating and like my folks grew up making and kind of elevates it to like highbrow food. Like she's like, there's no reason that like collards can't count as, shouldn't just count as soul food. It shouldn't just count as Southern cooking. It should count as the same way that we count French cooking. And so it's been really cool. So I got the book. Book was a surprise. I saw the book like a couple weeks ago, and I was like, oh, I need to make sure I get that. My wife had already pre-ordered it.
Dang.
So I didn't spoil my surprise. And she reposted my Instagram stories.
Vivian Howard reposted your Instagram stories? How?
Yeah.
How?
Two of them, because I tagged Chef in the F in them, and she saw them, reposted my IG stories about the book.
Dang.
Yeah. And she liked the message that I sent her.
Let's get her on the show. Come on, big boy.
First of all, there's no chance I can get her on the show, but she is awesome. Here's the thing. This is the crazy weird part. I am around athletes of note pretty routinely. It does not faze me. Generally, so to kind of go behind the scenes. So I'm working with Sam Acho, who was really good in college football, played for Texas. I've worked with Eddie George, Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer, probably an NFL Hall of Famer at some point too. I work with Braylon Edwards, guy who's amazing at Michigan, had a nice NFL career as well. And when I work with those guys, I don't talk to them at all. Like, and it's not like I'm scared. It's more like, this is a job. I have work that I have to do over here. So I'll deal with you when we get to the show meeting or when we get to on set. But usually it's like a bunch of people that are like, can I take a picture with you? Can you do this? Can I do that? And I was like, I don't do any of this. I'm not phased or bothered by it.
It's
a credibility thing, man.
You're a pro. That comes with the territory. Correct. Yeah.
Like even when I was at Bleacher Report and we would like bring people into the office, Michael Felder's got work to do. I don't need to deal with some guy who everyone tells him that he's great. But I did. This is what Starstruck feels like, huh? That's basically my point is like, I guess I'm now experiencing for the first time, maybe in my life, what Starstruck feels like because of Chef Vivian Howard, who has a show on PBS.
You're finally like, oh, mom, I made it.
Yes, 100%. Like to the point where we had our guy Ryan Nanny and even Holly were like, yo, she retweeted you. That's pretty dope.
That's cool. Speaking of cookbooks that are out, a new Barefoot Contessa cookbook that's sitting out there. Haven't pulled the trigger yet, but I know it's on Liz's wish list. Hanukkah's around the corner. I'm probably going to have to scoop that bad boy up at Costco.
Boom, there you go. Speaking of cookbooks and cooking, I want to talk about the prosciutto leek pizza that I made because it was a hit, yet Hartzell texted me, get those leeks off of there. What do you have against leeks?
I mean, it sounds like a better pizza without the leeks. That's all I'm saying.
Dude, the leeks are fire. You don't like onions on your pizza?
Not really, no.
Oh, dude, I had these. I love like an onion with like a spicy sausage. Love that.
Serber, if I said I will make you a pizza with the toppings that you desire, I'm going to add leeks to it, or I'll just make you a pizza with the toppings you desire. Which one are you taking?
The ones I desire. I hate onions. Onions are my least favorite thing. I only like them in sauce and stew when they're really, really broken down and added to the flavor profile. But they're too strong. I don't like the blast of flavor from an onion. So I don't like it raw in a salad, or I typically don't like them grilled. I don't mind a French onion soup, which I know sounds
kind of intuitive
to what I'm saying. Yeah, it's just cheese and onion broth. But something, it's a texture plus like a, damn, it overtakes the flavor, and I don't really love the flavor that much.
Oh, I love onions too. You like garlic?
Yes.
You like garlic, but you don't like onions.
Yep.
Interesting.
They're my different flavor.
They are. They live in the same world.
They do, but garlic is such a smoky, earthy, rich type of flavor, whereas onions are so much more acidic to me.
Yeah, I ask because my mom doesn't like garlic or onions.
I mean, Felder, look, bro, I like to give you a hard time about your bougie cooking, man. I like that you elevate pizza by throwing some leeks on that bad boy. Like, that's cool. Like, I just like to give you a hard time about it because it works. I mean, I get reactions from you. So
it gets under my skin.
Yes, it does. So that's the game, buddy.
Here's the difference between me and Hartzell, though. I recognize that I'm a picky eater. And like a lot of people love what you just described. Like 9 times out of 10, when you say what you said to someone, they're gonna be like, "Oh fuck yeah,
dude! I love it. The leeks on the pizza was a hit. Like I'm gonna go through that as I am at home by myself for the next couple of days. I'll go through that since I don't really cook on Saturdays. The leeks were good. And shout out to my wife's friend Kelsey, who was at a farmer's market and was like, "Oh, these leeks look really good. I bet Michael would like some," and got me some leeks.
That's a heady play.
Yeah, that's it. Listen, it's great. I love it. So I like leeks on a pizza. We are going to talk a little bit of the Halloween stuff. I was pitching to my wife some possible names of the show. Horror in the Dirt. Hand in the Grave. Hell in the Dirt.
I like all of these.
So what I'll do is I'll throw that to the poll for this episode of which one should we be called for Halloween. We probably should have done this at the start of the month, but it is what it is. We'll change our label for that Saturday that is Halloween, which we'll all be working on.
Is Halloween a top 5 holiday for y'all?
Not anymore.
Sure.
I used to really love Halloween. When I got dressed up and did the whole deal, I really, really liked it. I even liked Halloween when I wasn't dressing up and I just was at home handing out candy when we lived, like living in a neighborhood where you could hand candy out, or living in a time when you could hand candy out. I really went all in. I went all in on candy. I didn't go full size candy bars. I didn't have money to go full size candy bars.
Money, please.
But we did. But I would definitely go over, what's the size beside over bite size? Fun size?
Fun size.
Snack size?
Yeah. Fun size.
Yeah, I would go fun size.
It's a travesty what they've done to the fun size.
They're tiny.
Like, community of candy bars. I mean, they are so small. It's embarrassing. The only fun size candy bar where you're actually getting your money's worth are fun size Kit Kats, because you're actually getting two cats. But, I mean, fun size Snickers are a joke. Fun size M&Ms, it's like four of them. And, I mean, look. Do I have a 10-pound bag of fun-size candy from Costco in my house? Yes, I do. Do I munch on it regularly? Yes, I do. Am I disappointed by the sizes?
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
Constantly. So what do you – so that's what we're – so for Hollow, like, I just – yeah. No, but I so it's, it was, it's not top five anymore, but I can't think of five holidays that I enjoy.
Are you dressing up this year, Felder? You are a father. You're a rad dad. Are you dressing up for Halloween this year?
No, it's on a Saturday.
Yeah, but there'll be trick-or-treating or there'll be festivities on a on the Friday, bro. Friday before.
No, there will not.
Why yes, would there will be? Yes,
why?
There will
why?
Be. If you what? Have a if you have a neighborhood that participates in Halloween, there will
and
be
Halloween is on a Saturday.
There will yeah, be why there will be discussions about Halloween being held on the Friday night. I am not wrong here,
why?
Guys. I am not wrong. Look
yes,
it up.
You are. When
Look
has that ever happened? When has that ever happened? Please, someone write in where that happened, where, yes, where Halloween please. Was on a Saturday and you did it on Friday.
The big
instead,
boy.
After you worked all, after 90% of the country worked all fucking day, they then put on their costumes and went trick or treating instead of just having the full day to prepare on Saturday. They did it on Friday. What in what galaxy?
What
I'm
world?
Angry by this take.
At Hit D Pod on Twitter.
Yeah.
HitDPod@gmail.com. I am not wrong here. Talk to any HOA. Talk to people who live in a neighborhood where there is coordinated trick-or-treating efforts. Friday night's in play this year. Bang. Leave me alone.
Why? Why? Is there weather somewhere? Is there like? Is there a downpour somewhere? That's the only case in which like this would happen. Like, oh, it's going to be pouring rain tomorrow, but it's clear today. That is the only acceptable outcome where what you described happened. I don't even want to repeat what you said. It's dirty.
Wrong.
It's not wrong. I my neighborhood did have a concerted Halloween effort. We did a Halloween parade, mm-hmm. and we did trunk or treat. And the only time that those happened on days that weren't Halloween was when Halloween was like on a Monday. So they did it on Saturday or Sunday, or when Halloween was on a Thursday, but they pushed it to the Friday. That when Halloween is on the Saturday, you're doing Halloween on the Saturday.
Okay.
Boom. Chicka yeep.
Like, I don't think you're right about
Europe.
This.
Iggity, iggity, Europe.
Are you scratching over there?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
Because Felder is laying down a fucking beat right now.
Oh, please.
Yeah. So do you guys, so let's bring it back to the lawn and some of the home stuff. You guys, are you guys big decorators?
I think we're average decorators.
What's average? Because you also think that they do Halloween on Friday.
Pumpkins,
if it's on Saturday.
Gourds. There is no lawn ornaments. There's no
jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah. Like carving. Yeah, but I mean, we're not hanging stuff off of the roof or the ceiling, or you know, we don't have the
inflatables.
Yeah, we don't have inflatables. We don't have anything that goes in the yard. We also don't get any trick or treaters. So. Nope.
So that 10-pound bag of candy that you referenced is for you.
Not entirely. I mean, I would share it with the boys, but like, you know.
Hartzell, it's always there.
Well, hang on a second.
It's not there because it's October. That's why the candy corn is there, but the 10-pound bag of candy is there until the 10-pound bag of candy runs out and you get another one from
Costco. I don't want to be unprepared. I don't want somebody to knock on the door on either Friday or Saturday this year of Halloween.
Stop trying to make Friday happen.
Like, it's not a thing. If you knock on someone's door on Friday with your child, you're going to get yelled at.
No, that's not going to happen. I'm going to
people are
adorable costume.
Right now.
Let me ruffle around here and give you my Almond Joys and my Three Musketeers that I do not want from this bag of candy.
Yeah, that's the treatment you get if you trick or treat on the wrong day.
You get Almond Joys. Candy. Yeah, you get mounds.
Enjoy the coconut, loser.
Yeah. You just got to have the candy ready because you just never know, man. You just never know. And I've said this before, but I want to invest in the youth in my neighborhood. I don't want my house getting rolled later in life. I don't want to get paintballed or egged. because I gave out dental floss on Halloween. Okay.
Ooh.
So I just I have it here.
By the way, did get high scores on my flossing from the dentist.
That's good. Well, I mean, look, you work in TV, so your teeth game has to be on point, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, it's just, it's got to be. It comes with the territory.
So, yeah, I don't want to get egged either. Halloween is a big deal. Like, I think Halloween is a top five Chicago holiday because of the way that people go all out from a decoration standpoint. Like, we don't have huge lawns here.
Right.
But the lawn, ooh, it is whipping rain outside.
You got stoops though, right? Like everybody's got the walk-ups.
You got a stoop and you got that little area rug size lawn, and people, I never see anybody out like working in their lawn, but when Halloween hits, as soon as it gets to be October, they are out there decorating.
That's
it is
cool.
A huge deal.
That's cool. I respect that. I mean, I think that's neat, but I ain't about that life.
I'm talking about I walk by two houses, two separate houses on two separate streets on two separate blocks that had the spider's web from over their front lawn that went up to their third floor windows. Like it goes from the sidewalk, anchored on the fence at the sidewalk, strung all the way up to the basement, main level, next level. Up to the second level of the actual house, third story of the structure. I mean, we're talking about inflatables that run nonstop. I take the dog out at 7 in the morning and I take the dog out at 10:30 at night. Inflatables going nonstop.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy an inflatable, but I will never be that house that's got six inflatables in the front yard. I think that's tacky. And
I'm looking for a picture, but my uncle like does it up more than anyone I've ever seen for Halloween. Like he has zombies in the yard, like he's got a zombie coming out of the grave in a spot. Like
oh, like carrots.
He has no inch of his yard at Halloween. He goes all out for Halloween. There is no inch of his yard. Even his windows in his house have like scary shit like being projected onto them.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, he doesn't have
what does that do to his
Instagram
yard
or anything. His yard always looks beautiful, so I don't think it does anything. I think he's very strategic. He doesn't like dig anything in. It's mostly, you know, some sort of like if there's a grave, okay, it's like there's a cloth down, like
got it
down and stuff. So his yard, yeah, because he's in an HOA too, so like his yard is kept up on point. And he has that grass that just dies in the fall.
If he's in an HOA, Felder or Cerber, if he's in an HOA, why don't you text him and find out if Halloween's on Friday or Saturday this year, just so I can, just for confirmation. I'm just curious. I mean, if he's
he's going to think I'm so fucking stupid if I ask him that.
Like, hey, man, settle a bet for us. You live in an HOA. You take Halloween very seriously. Is Halloween happening on Friday or Saturday this year? Just see what he says, man.
I know what the answer is.
He's going to say, boy.
Yeah, so it's probably going to start like that. And then he's going to say, I'm on my fucking forklift right now. I don't have time for you and your stupid question.
Okay.
Good grief. I can't believe that this is the question. That's crazy.
I'm just telling you what I've heard, man. I'm just telling you what I've heard. Don't shoot the messenger here, guys. You get somebody who's dressed up knocking on your door on Friday, October 30th, I'm going to be like, I fucking told you.
Oh, by the way, are you guys doing trick-or-treating?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's super dangerous. It could be potentially deadly this year.
Let's go to a random stranger's house and take candy that they've handled.
I mean, I am going to go to a buddy's house and have like a fire pit type of thing and just kind of like bring the kids because they've got kids and we'll just hang out and keep our distance. But yeah, we're not roaming the streets asking for handouts. That's probably on hold for a year.
Just a bunch of face-to-face interactions in doorways?
Yeah, it's not happening.
Okay. I wanted to clarify that too. So the listeners don't get the wrong idea.
Bro, I'm a rad dad, not a bad dad. Okay. I mean, come on.
Picks in the dock, by the way. Picks in the dock of Halloween.
All right. Halloween. Very good. Right.
Looking for it now. Where is it?
It's at the very, very bottom. I'm pasting them in. The werewolf is him.
Okay. I'm looking for that. So no, Halloween's not a top five for me. Love that. You want to, I got a Halloween fail sent in. Let's go to my buddy, Laura.
So I have what my mom thought was a bomb mom moment in 1989, but fast forward and it turns out that it was a Halloween costume fail. When I was probably 3 and my older sister was maybe 5, my mom handmade Native American costumes for us. They had little headbands that had braids on them, a lot of fringe going on. So needless to say, just very racially insensitive, not great, not a great moment, to really top it off underneath of the little dresses that she made to keep us warm. She put us in red turtlenecks and leggings, and we were literally made into redskins. And my mom was so proud of these costumes that she had professional photographs of us taken in them. And that is what white people were like in the 80s. In 90s and 2000s and still now, because we're awful, and I'm sorry.
Oh my goodness.
That's so that was good.
Yeah, she was telling me the story and I was like, oh, you have to call that in. And she did, and it's great. And yeah, we all grow. You guys got any, like, from childhood, because Halloween one, Serbert, the pictures that are in the doc are amazing. I think if you go that far on Halloween, Halloween could still be for adults.
Yeah, yeah. He, like, walks around in front of the house in that werewolf outfit or whatever outfit he has chosen for that Halloween and scares the shit out of the kids with it. Like, yeah, he's all out.
Yeah, that could be Halloween that's still for adults. I think the Halloween that is, like,
blow up pumpkin.
That's for kids, right? That's kid stuff.
Yeah.
But the other part for me is, like, I don't want to do the effort. Like, unless, honestly, I say this to someone who listens to a lot of podcasts from comedians and, like, aspiring actors or whatever. Like, they go all out in a way that is remarkable, and they also mostly don't have kids. But Halloween, for me, I think about kid stuff until you're, like, 24, probably. 24, still going out to the bar. That was still a good time for Halloween. And then I pretty much stopped dressing up. But kid-wise, favorite costume from being a kid?
That's a good one.
All right, I got one for you.
Go ahead. You go first.
There's a guy, Hardball, G.I. Joe, Hardball. And the dude is awesome. He has, like, a grenade launcher.
I remember this guy, yeah.
So, listen to this. I am in second grade. I wanted to be G.I. Joe when I was in first grade. My mom went to buy the shitty plastic G.I. Joe costume. They only had white G.I. Joe. She was like, and it was a generic G.I. Joe. It just said G.I. Joe on the front. It wasn't like one of the actual Joes. And my mom put makeup on it. So it was like, I guess I was doing a little bit of blackface, but it doesn't count for me. Which is, that's kind of what it's got Laura to tell her story. But my mom was like, okay, well, here's what we're going to do. You want to be G.I. Joe? What G.I. Joe do? We're going to be Hardball. So for second grade, I'm going to be Hardball. We got my shoulder pads from the, my old, like I had a Walter Payton.
Like a play football jersey?
Play football. Yeah, I'm not even going to call it a costume. It's a uniform. I do find that to be hilarious though, when actors call uniforms costumes. I put on my football costume. So
that's somebody's regular wardrobe, bro.
So I put on my uniform. So we took the shoulder pads from the uniform. We had an old, I don't know if it was Dodgers or Yankees jersey. Put that over the shoulder pads.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
Found some like reddish brown pants, put some boots on. And I had this blue M16, and I went to school with a blue M16 shoulder pads, a Yankees hat on, and a Yankees jersey, and it was Hardball for Halloween, and it was great.
Nice.
And this is, like, keep in mind, this is the early 90s, where it was okay, early 90s on an Air Force base, where it was okay for me to bring an M16 to school.
Was this Persian Gulf War?
Yeah.
That was peak Army stuff for us. I mean, a lot less serious than like Vietnam, obviously, which our parents all grew up with. So sure. Yeah, that's good for me. Mine's pretty corny, man. I was a Braves fan in the early 90s for like 3 years in a row. I made my own tomahawk out of a yardstick, and it was like me toting around this giant handmade tomahawk, which again, the Braves are like, yeah, we are trying to disassociate ourselves with tomahawks and the tomahawk chop in 2020. But this was like 92, 93, 94, like peak Braves, like worst to first, you know, just
I was obsessed. So the costume chop on hashtag.
No, they do the stir it up now or the for the okay. A. I mean, they have, this is a very recent thing. Like yeah, as sure of a year is. Ago, they were like, you know what? We're probably not going to do this anymore.
So what was your costume? Just a tomahawk?
No, I had head to toe Braves gear. I mean, hat,
okay.
Shirt,
you're a Braves fan.
Jersey.
He's a little leaguer.
Yeah. I mean, it was corny, but I mean, I was obsessed with sports at a young age. I mean,
so you wore... So did you wear a baseball uniform?
Another year it was like a World Series t-shirt. I mean, the Braves were like the thing in Atlanta for a while.
Wait, what is – I don't understand. So you were a Braves fan who dressed up as a Braves fan?
Yeah. That was my favorite Halloween costume. I mean, I did others. I mean, I was like a cowboy one year. I was a football player one year. But, yeah, dude, you're talking about like the one that stood out to me, my favorite? Yeah. Yeah.
Is your favorite is the thing that you would wear anyway?
Yeah, that's
I wasn't okay. wearing like head to toe Braves gear all day every day, bro. I mean,
most
I had a hand.
Days
here's the
were,
thing:
right?
The star of the show. What was the star of your G.I. Joe costume? It was the M16, right? It was the accessory, as most great costumes.
Shoulder
have.
Pads too.
Okay, great. So the star of my costume was this tomahawk. I mean, I spray painted it. There was like leather, you know, like I had the tomahawk attached to the yardstick. It was all covered up. I mean, it looked like a pro tomahawk, dude. So anyway, that was the star of the show, and yeah, that was the highlight of my youth. So there you go, nerd alert.
Your mom wouldn't let you carry around just like a hatchet?
I don't think we had a hatchet, man. But no, that was not going to happen.
Do you have a hatchet now?
We have an axe. We do not have a hatchet. We have
an axe.
I highly recommend getting back into lawn and garden. I highly recommend getting a hatchet.
We have a machete. Does that count for anything?
Machete.
That's good. Machete's good. That's okay. Good. But a hatchet, I highly recommend a hatchet. I think that as we go talking gear, I think that hatchets are so incredibly useful for small branches. They're great for like really dense brush. I love my hatchet. I got a cobalt hatchet actually. Like it is tried and true, trusty. I get that bad boy out and we go to work. Like especially if you're like if you have a storm or something, you don't want to be out there swinging that axe the whole time. But you want to do some light work. Hatchet's going to get you there.
I feel like that's not a very efficient way to go about cleaning up after a storm.
When you do it, you don't think it's an efficient way? I'm looking at a storm right now and it's wild.
I mean, here's the thing. We're going to get a chainsaw this year for the holidays. Like,
oh,
it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So at that point, it's like, yeah, hatchet. I see you, bro. Like I read the book. It was great. I loved it as a youth.
Gary Paulson.
Shout out.
God, we're such literary fans.
Hatchet's a great book, man. Are you kidding me?
I think Hatchet's a great book too. And then what's the other one? The one after that where they have to recreate it and it goes sideways. The Knife, right?
I don't know. That's a deep dive.
I think it's called The Knife.
Okay. I'll look it up while we're talking. But yeah, do not have a hatchet. Do not have any plans on getting a hatchet.
Get a hatchet. I'm telling you.
I'm Michael Felder, and I endorse hatchets.
I do. I endorse hatchets. I got a cobalt hatchet. I'm telling you, here's the thing. You're going to get the chainsaw, and chainsaw is going to be great for when you're breaking up the big boys. But you're not going to be chainsawing through sticks and small branches.
No, I just step on them. I break them in half that way. Server, do you have a hatchet?
Yeah, I got one out there.
Okay.
I'm telling you, hatchet is that's a go-to, man.
Do you keep it in your belt loop? Do you have it hanging off of your utility belt?
Oh, I listen. Should we get utility belts?
I've got one.
You got one?
Shit,
I got one. Wow. Hang on a second. This was it was part of a gag gift at the baby shower. This was 4.5-5 years ago. And it's a nice one, dude. It's tan, it's leather, it's got the double belt or the double whatever you want to call it, in the front. It looks like a cleaner version of what the Property Brother guy's always wearing. Yeah. He's always got it on in the house. It's got side pockets, it's got loops. I wear this thing around the house just to look good. I mean, when I'm like working, I don't even fill it up. And I'm gonna tell you guys, I'm gonna tell you right now, it works. Okay, it works.
Okay.
So this thing bangs, hey-o. But there's a loop in there for the hammer.
Steve,
so I guess
so
I could.
Handy.
Yeah. So instead of the hammer, I could put the hatchet in that loop, I suppose, and just walk around and just fix stuff after a light storm. How about that?
I haven't thought about where I don't think about wearing the belt when I'm doing lawn stuff. I used to have a belt because I did construction, and I used to have a belt that I kept my stuff in because you just need so many things and you don't want to have to go back to your truck back and forth to, or in my case, the trooper.
Yeah.
But I don't wear it for, so no, I don't put it in my belt when I do lawn stuff. If I'm out there with the hatchet's going to be stuck. I like the look of it. I love taking that one swing, sticking it in the tree while I do something else. That's how you know I mean business. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I know I'm in business right there. Like, I take the chainsaw out. We're gonna do some chainsawing. But I also take that hatchet out, slam that hatchet into the tree. Let's get busy chainsawing. Then we're going to get to the hatchet work, break it down so we can get it all out to the curb.
Yeah, I mean, those utility belts are pretty badass. So mine came with like a roll of diapers and like wipes and all this other stuff. And it was like, get ready. And all that stuff is gone. But the utility belt, it still holds up, man. It's pretty legit.
It's a good thing. You could take all your light bulbs from your toolbox and put them in there.
I could. Yeah.
You didn't like that.
Well, I mean, I don't think that's practical. I don't know if I'd be carrying around some
sort of like light
bulbs
in a toolbox.
In a toolbox. Exactly what I was getting at.
Are you taking shots?
Yes.
Yes.
It's not a toolbox. It's a drawer in a giant toolbox. Okay.
It's making more sense why you think they would do Halloween on Friday.
I hate you all.
No, I, by the way, speaking of, because now we are talking about storms, especially since I'm watching one, and we just had one a couple of weeks ago as well, where there were a bunch of trees down. If you're getting a chainsaw, Hartzell, what's your eye protection game looking like?
That's a good question. I mean, I've got a few options here. I've got the goggles, and then I've got the glasses with like the, you know, like the Ray Charles, like with the, you know, with the pieces that kind of keep it going on the side and the tops and the bottoms. I don't know what you call those. But
what now? What now
are
you saying?
Mario and jerseys. The Mario and jerseys. The safety gurgles.
Yeah. Safety goggles, okay. But I have the soft plastic ones, and I've also got the hard plastic ones that are more like glasses that just go on top, but they're rigid. They're rigid, excuse me.
Yeah, I am.
You got to have it, though, man. I use that for weed whacking, too. It's just too dangerous not to. Yeah.
Yeah, I am I think I've got some 3M. Polarized, black frame, anti-fog.
That sounds bougie, but nice. I like it.
What? How's that bougie?
3M. That's like top of the line stuff, man.
First of all, 3M. How is 3M the top of the line stuff?
I'm looking at protective eyewear right now on Google. The 3M protective eyewear, $6.95. Everything else is like $3. So,
Steven.
$6.95. $6.95?
Yes. Yes.
That's not a lot.
Here's another 3M from Grainger, $14. And all the rest of this Bobo stuff is literally like $3, $4. Here's one for 89 cents. Rugged blue Diablo safety glasses.
Those don't feel safe to me.
Well, I'm just telling you, 3M sounds like top of the line protective eyewear. That's all I'm saying.
I found the ones. Here's the ones that I'm going to recommend. They're great for yard work. I wear them even when I'm not like chainsawing stuff or doing like a, whether it's a weed whacker or the blower, I wear them when you're working in your workshop. When I'm working like in the garage, I wear them. When I'm working in the yard, I wear them. I get the Secure Fit. I got the yellow lens, the amber lens. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
It's, they've got like some, I think they're polarized with UV protection and they're anti-fog. And let me tell you something. It's night and day what you can see with those things. Like, they don't just protect my eyes, they make my eyes better.
Wow. Sounds like a infomercial on ACC Network that they play on a loop for 7 hours.
Oh, are you talking about the Tech Fit?
Yep.
Shooter's glasses or whatever they are?
I'm worried about ACC Network when I see the ads that are running on that thing. Between that and the tactical shaver and the indestructible, yeah, the indestructible set of pots and pans. I mean, it's the same four ads all day.
The ACC Football Network is preparing you for like Armageddon Day. And they're like, here's all the shit you're going to need. Get your tactical glasses. Hey, no,
don't forget.
You can take out a Taliban from a mile away.
Don't forget about the lady with that sells those long spoons.
Yeah,
you're going to need these in the bush.
Yeah, you can tell a lot about a TV channel.
But SEC Network's commercials aren't much better.
No, it's the same. It's the same.
Yeah, they're the same. It's just very, whew. You know what? Let's play don't we have another fail?
We've got Josh in Phoenix.
Let's go Josh in Phoenix.
Sound, please.
Hey, guys. Good morning. This is Josh in Phoenix. Shout out to Zone 13/ Surface of the Sun. Wanted to drop you guys a memo with a recent tip that I learned from a fail. So I have recently moved from the southeast to the Phoenix area, and I'm trying to find new plants and things that I can grow out here. Gardens really aren't realistic, but some plants can take the heat. And so I've been putting in plumerias and hibiscus and, you know, a lot of ornamental grasses and things like that. But for the plumerias and the hibiscus, I've been researching what's the right soil, what's the right fertilizers to use to get them to grow and be healthy. And I had used two different website suggestions to use a high phosphorus fertilizer on those, a small amount, but to use that on the plants. And within a couple of days, I saw that the leaves had all begun to droop a lot and turned yellow with spots, and they were really starting to die. You know, I feel like I've killed them off. And so doing more research on other websites, I found a good one that gave you photos of the leaves with different issues so you could help diagnose your problems, and found out that a high phosphorus fertilizer has a tendency to choke out your plants. It blocks them from being able to take in the other nutrients, the nitrogen or the potassium or iron or anything else that's in the soil or in the fertilizer. So the use of a high phosphorus fertilizer is a definite no-go. I wouldn't recommend it unless you're just looking to kill something off. But the other tip is really to make sure and triple check, you know, look at other websites, look around, try to find good tips. You know, somebody's suggesting to use a high number of any compound in your fertilizer, whether it's nitrogen, phosphorus, or potassium, or iron, or anything else for that matter. You know, make sure and search out to see if a high volume of that's going to create any problems for your plants. So I love the show. You guys keep rocking and rolling. I appreciate it, and let's grow.
All right.
I'm 13.
That guy was like touching on all of the like inside language that we have here on the show. He tagged it with Let's Grow. He gave a shout out to his Grow Zone. I mean,
love it.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I want to know what more people are doing in the fall and what more people are doing in different zones. I mean, we talked to our listener in Minnesota. She posted a picture. There's full blown snow on the ground.
Oh, yeah, dude, it's a frozen tundra up there already. We got Big Ten games in the snow. It's here. So enjoy winter. We'll see you guys in 6 months.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So I wonder what she's doing for the fall. Send us in something. Obviously, we got a lot of listeners in the Southeast. We don't know what y'all are doing in the fall. We talked to Holly already, who's got her winter greens in. I got my winter greens in. And we got Josh out there in Phoenix. surface of the sun, as he called it.
And I was like, I thought that was Columbia, South Carolina. We might have a one might be Mars, one might be the surface of the sun.
I mean,
or maybe Mercury and then surface of the
sun. Yeah, I think
Gamecocks are hot, baby. Let's go.
Who they just beat? They beat Auburn. Well,
they're on a two-game heater, Vanderbilt and Auburn. By the time this drops, we'll know whether or not they beat LSU on the road, which Serber has called for on College Sports Now earlier this week. So
I can see it happening.
Hey, can I sneak in a lawn question here real quick, Felder? Can I get some counsel?
Yeah.
All right, so I have seeded the front yard, okay?
Uh-huh.
And, boy, let me tell you, you guys are gonna be like, Hartzell, you are such a fucking idiot. It's amazing. It is amazing how much better the grass does when you give it water every single day. It is night and day, boys and girls.
Really?
I've been moving the sprinkler around.
Okay.
And I really want to get one of those badass sprinklers, like the stand-up ones that are like a pyramid and they're high-powered. But I don't have that. So I've just got, you know, like your typical standard rotary sprinkler.
Which one? You got the...
Nope. Mine's got the bunch of little holes, and it just kind of rocks back and forth. Yep. Just kind of rocks back and forth.
The one that goes side to side?
It's literally like a $7 sprinkler. I mean, it is bottom of the barrel sprinkler, but it works. It gets the job done, and I like that I can just move it around. The front yard is not as big as the back yard.
You got the oscillating sprinkler?
Oscillator. Very good. That's exactly what it is. But
just spent the 16 and got like a Milner or something, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, look. Here's what I'm.
That would be bougie, Felder.
We gotta talk sprinklers. I want a bougie sprinkler. I want one. Okay. I'm not there yet. I haven't gotten one, and quite frankly, I've spent all my money on grass seed, so I don't really have a whole lot left on the Lowe's account to spend on a sprinkler. But I'll ask for one for Hanukkah. Look, my point is, guys, the grass is it's coming. It looks.
Yeah,
really nice, and it's greening up, and it's filling in everywhere where seed was laid. So that right there is a huge improvement over a year ago. My question for you though, Felder, do I need to just chill out and drop fertilizer in like a couple weeks, or like what's the timetable for putting or injecting more shit onto my lawn? Because the grass is doing its thing; it's getting rain. The temperatures are, you know, highs in the 70s, lows in the 40s, so, like, nothing is freezing. We're fine for the next couple of weeks, but at what point do I drop some fertilizer on this?
Did you fertilize it when you put it down?
In certain areas, I laid a little topsoil where it needed it.
Did you fertilize before you planted?
No.
Okay, so you can do it. Make sure you get something that's like a new seed, new starter type fertilizer.
Okay.
For young grass?
Okay.
Yeah. You get the fertilizer in there.
Do I need to let the grass get to be a certain height before I drive over it back and forth with the spreader?
No.
Okay.
Well, you're not going to sit on it.
No, I'm just cruising.
Yeah, you should be able to get that in.
I need to send y'all some pictures, man. I mean, I'm amazed. I'm like, boy, this is what they talk about when they say water your grass. Like, this is...
I might have to do the dirty drive-by. I have to see. Yeah.
You got to give it an inch a week.
An inch of what?
Inch of water.
Water.
Well, I just set a timer on my watch for like 30 minutes, and every 30 minutes I move the sprinkler.
Sure. And what I'm saying is, what you should do is take a little cup or something, or cut a solo cup up to be like 2 inches tall. Put, I don't know if you have beads or rocks or whatever, put a couple in the bottom. And then as you're watering, leave that thing out there to see how much water you're giving it, whether it's that day or like over the course of the week, just because that's like you're supposed to do about an inch a week.
Okay.
And it's interesting, like as you're moving them around, you want to make sure you don't overwater the same areas, but also make sure that they're getting that everywhere is getting the same amount of water.
Now, at what height on the grass are you like, okay, we're good here. I don't need to keep watering this every day.
Well, if you just put seed in, that grass, you don't have to you don't have to water it every day right now.
I'm watering it like every other day.
Yeah. You need that. You got to do that until – I don't know that there's a height so much as there is a time, right? It needs to have a good month of solid watering to be able to take, right, because it's less about the height, it's more about the roots.
I'm two and a half weeks into this, so I can see it through until early November, and then
then you back it off. Maybe you do once a week.
Fuck yeah.
Depending on what the rain looks like too, because it does rain there more once we get in more in the fall.
Yeah, we got rain in the forecast for both days this weekend, guys. We're living the dream. It's happening. Yeah. It's looking, it's, oh boy. Cerber, come on by. Do a dirty drive-by, man. Tell me I'm not crazy. Cruise on through.
I'll honk three times for Dale.
So I didn't plan for this to be like the launch. Like, we're going to talk about a bunch of Halloween stuff, and we did a little bit. But what kind of sprinkler do you want?
So the sprinkler that I've seen the neighbors bust out, which is, I think, the Mac Daddy sprinkler, is the one that's sitting on a tripod. It's sitting 4 feet off the ground.
Yeah.
And you loop the hose up underneath it, and it's, I mean, I'd say it's probably got a radius of, I don't know, 75 or 80 feet in all directions. I mean, I think that is, I mean, they stick it smack in the middle of the
right, line. Right.
And it covers everything.
It goes a full circle?
Yeah, I think that's the one. Now, I don't know which one you are referring to, but, I mean, the sprinkler game, you know what? Let's pull it up. Putting a link right here in the chat.
Putting a link in the doc right here. Boom. Put a link in to Lowe's.com. Click on this bad boy. I put it right at the top.
Yeah, the Orbit. This is the one.
Yeah. Okay. $40, man.
Yeah, I need to bring this thing home.
$40.
Have you had one?
No. I have not had one. I have only had the guys.
But this can do that, I think.
Yeah, it can. It can do that, and it can do full circle.
Yeah.
And but I was a Melnor sprinkler guy. Love the bass, love the way that the oscillating, the one that goes, you know, it produces kind of that fan that goes to the left,
yeah,
up and over to the right.
Yeah.
Does that. And playing with, I found that Melnor does a really good job of the angling and all that. Like, because when I had a lawn, good grief, is I would set it up on the, so how, what's your watering pattern look like?
What do you mean? I start bottom left from the house, and I just kind of work my way back
to... Do you put the sprinkler in the middle, and then it goes side to side, and does one whole side? Or do you set the sprinkler so that it just does one side, and does it that way?
Just does one side and kind of goes maybe 10 feet to the... Yeah, I set it up so that it probably does 40 to 50 feet on one side and then 10 feet on the other, and I move it. I have to move it like 3 or 4 times. It's not the most efficient way to go about this, I realize, but it's all that I have. And again, the bar, guys, as you guys know, the bar is so low for me and my lawn care that the fact that I was like, oh, you know what? I just dropped several hundred dollars on grass seed. I should probably water them this year.
Yeah,
that's been, the light bulb has gone on, and I'm seeing the results now because we're 2 weeks in, and I haven't even started the winter rye. Like, we're going to go with the perennial rye in the side yard, and that stuff is like neon green. That stuff is so easy to fertilize and get going. So
yeah,
Orbit, I'm about to pull the trigger on this thing now, man. Pick it up in the store later this week. Let's go.
There you go. Yeah. No, I am. So this is the way that I used to water, and I learned this from when I was, we talked last week about moving sod when I was working in construction. This is another thing that you have to do is water the sod. Otherwise, you will lose it. And it's a lot of money. So what I used to do, because the reasoning behind this is you're not supposed to walk on the sod. And every time you walk on it, especially if it's soggy, you're getting footprints in it, and then it gets a little lumpy, and then it looks all weird. Mm-hmm. So what I used to do was water from the side, water from the driveway, water from the walkway, instead of putting it in the middle. Like, a lot of people would put the sprinkler in the middle and go, if you're standing in the doorway, a lot of people would put the in the middle of the yard straight out of the doorway. Because let's say you have 30 feet of yard to your left, 20 feet of yard to your right. They would walk out to the middle of that area, 25 feet, put it there, and they would try to get it to go all the way to this side and all the way to the other side. But I hated, I didn't want to walk on the yards because then I get notes like, hey, don't do this. So I figured out how to rig the sprinklers to where we would get 25 one way, and it would just do that whole way, and it would go up to almost vertical and then down, up to almost vertical and then down, and just only water that part. Then I could flip it around to the other side of the yard by walking on the sidewalk, get the same thing on that side, and then we're done. I don't have to walk on the yard. And I just kept doing that at home and got good results, especially because I know where I'm watering.
I think it's great. Sorry, I'm in the middle of ordering a sprinkler. I apologize. I'll stop multitasking.
Listen, we got server. We got an on-air sprinkler purchase because he realized it. While it is a Mac Daddy sprinkler, it is also not going to break the bank.
Well, I've also been shamed by you guys, which happens weekly. I'm trying to get server to come over and pick up this aerator and spreader so he can get in the game. He's like, I mean, you're on the fence, server. Like, you want to do it, but you're like, do I want to do it? Like, do I actually want to spend the time to do it?
Yeah, because I think it's going to be all for naught. Like, because the way these trees are going to have to come down in my yard, it's just going to tear the yard. I don't want to, I don't know. I haven't decided on the tree in the front yard, because the only area I would do is the front yard, because fuck the backyard and side yard. No one can see that. Like, I don't care what that looks like. JB Field has opened my eyes to, like, let the clover do its thing, man. So, like, yeah. I don't really care about those so much. So it's really just, and I've been non-committal, much like the fire pit, about this tree in the front yard. It drops. Felder, so I went for a long time. I wasn't sure what kind of pear tree this is. But I'm now almost, I'm almost convinced it's an Asian pear tree.
Okay.
And I don't, like, I picked a pear off this bad boy because it only produces fruit every other year. The last year it produced zero fruit. This year, like the first year we were here, it's producing a lot of fruit that is dropping onto our vehicles in the driveway and making a mess all over the place. I picked one and I cut it up and I saw the flavor profile was not great. Like, my only thing I think I could do with these is some sort of stewed pears or some sort, or like something like that. Do you know of anything off the top of your head that Asian pears are good for, or should I just fucking get rid of this tree and put something better in?
I've never had one. I'm looking at them now. How big are these things?
They're not very big.
I've got the little guys.
Yeah, teeny teenies.
Oh, yeah. No, that looks like an annoyance.
It's really annoying. The tree is beautiful. Like, the tree is fantastic.
How tall is it?
I'm not good at judging those things, but, like, it would be dangerous to climb. It's tall enough where it's dangerous to climb. If nothing else, it needs to be trimmed back because it's starting to hang over the road a little bit too much. And I did just hop on the ladder and take a couple limbs down because they were low over the driveway, like, almost hitting the top of the SUV. So it's a big tree. It's been there probably since the house was built.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it's like it's I don't know, man.
Getting old too.
It's getting old. Like, and another problem I have with the fruit falling is my yard has, like, I've been fighting ants since we got here.
So, like, the fruit falling doesn't help that at all.
Exactly. And the thing that kind of has almost put me on the edge of taking this tree down is our mailbox sits right under it, and whenever there's a really, really, really heavy thunderstorm, my mailbox gets infested with ants, and I have to leave the mailbox open for them to go out. Like, I open the mailbox, there's a big cluster of white, like, ant eggs and, like, 100 ants, like, trying to. And so I spray them with the killer. I wipe it out. And if I close it, more ants wind up back in there with more eggs. So I have to leave it open for a couple days, and then they'll finally go out. And then the smell of these pears, like, yes, the deer come and eat some of them, but, like, when they don't, and we get a hot day in the fall when they've fallen, it stinks. It stinks. And, like, August is bad for flies because they're falling, and the flies are everywhere. And the tree is pretty, but it is,
I didn't take it down last year because like, oh, it's just going to produce every other year. I can deal with that.
Get it out.
Well, now
here.
That it's back, I'm like, I think I had to get rid of this tree. I like the shade and privacy it provides for my front yard in the front of the house, but like, I think the con of the stinky fruit all over the place that I have no use for. Like, no one could use as much fruit as comes off of this thing anyway. Like, I could go to the farmer's market and be the number one Asian pear guy in the state.
Listen, we haven't talked nearly enough about the tree situation. I'm with Hartzell.
Get rid of the tree.
Get rid of it.
Yeah. By the way, I've got a tree guy who's pretty reasonable. Now I say pretty reasonable. I had never gotten trees removed until I purchased a home. But knowing how expensive tree removal is in larger cities like in Atlanta, mm-hmm. I was pleasantly surprised with how affordable tree removal was here. So if you need a reference, I've got a guy.
Well,
so.
I have another question, and this is more of an etiquette similar to like, can I go back into that backyard and get my tree? But this is in dealing with a neighbor. The way my property is, my neighbor has built a fence behind us that on our side of the yard, his property comes over another like 5 feet. So it's like 5 feet and then his fence. There's a tree that's technically on his property, but if it were to fall, it could either fall on his house and destroy his house or fall on my building and carport and destroy those things. It's before we moved in, before we got this house, the tree was struck by lightning.
Ooh.
And a couple weeks ago, I started noticing that like, okay, this tree I think is now dead. It had been full last year, but this year it did not fill back up. And I just did a quick knock on the tree and it is like hollow in there. Like I think the ants I'm fighting have gotten that tree.
Yeah.
Technically it's on his property. It's his responsibility. But it's in what I think we would consider our yard in a sense, you know? Like, what do I do? Do I take it down? Do I force his hand? Because I don't think he's concerned with it because I don't think he can see as much of the tree as I can see.
Talk to him.
Yep. I was going to say, I've got a diplomatic answer because we are actually in this same situation with our house in Charlotte where the, like, we actually had damage done to our house by a tree through a windstorm. The same tree that took down, that split my Bradford pear and walked it right up to the front door, also took off a couple major limbs from a tree that's in my neighbor's yard, but they hit the side of my house and ripped off our gutter and like the fascia.
Yeah.
And so we had to get new gutters. We had to get new fascia board up there. We had to get all this stuff done, but it was their tree. So the goal is whenever we decide to get trees taken care of, we're going to talk with them. And if they're ready, we're ready to get the tree taken down. Obviously, things have gotten in the way of that with moving to Chicago and not being able to be there like on site. But we like it's very if you just talk to them, get them on board, say, hey, man, this thing could hurt you. It could hurt me. And I think it's dead. I'm already thinking about getting the tree taken down. What do you say about we go in and get this thing done, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a conversation is probably, I don't know what kind of relationship you have with this neighbor or if you talk to him at all. But yeah, you got to talk to him. You got to just say, hey, you got a couple minutes? I wanted to ask you about this tree.
It's just, it's
can you see him?
It's a really, can I see him?
Like when he's outside?
Yeah, because they, for whatever reason, they put up a privacy fence, but then they built an above ground pool. Like,
God.
So I don't talk to these people much.
Is it one of those really nice above ground pools?
No,
What is that now?
Yeah, there is no nice above ground pool. Number one, he built a nice like deck around his above ground pool.
But
the above ground pool is still the same shitty above ground pool that you get at Walmart. Like it.
It's the same.
But I don't understand why he, because once again, this fence was put up before we got here. I know why he put up the privacy fence because people who lived here before us
had this place looking like a shithole. Right. But
didn't want
the
to
idea of building the privacy fence and then putting the above ground pool in so that whenever you're by the pool, you're literally looking, it's like we're eye to eye.
That's like an episode of King or Queens.
Sure. Yeah. That seems like a joke that would be in that show. Or like a
how tall
or
is,
like King of the Hill or something.
How tall is the fence?
It's probably 6 foot, 7 foot fence.
So here's what I would do, buddy. I mean, talk about the tree first and foremost, and then when the time comes, plant a row of like some cypresses or some sort of evergreen tree that's going to take off. It's going to take a couple years, but you know,
that's the dream. My grandmother, my Oma's house down in South Carolina, her whole front yard was like boxed in by like evergreens, and I've always wanted that for my yard. Like you could not see her front yard, which was not because she was trying to hide anything, because she was a fucking G in the yard, but like but like I've always envied that and wanted that, and it's a bit of a point of contention for the wife and I. She's like, no, I want people to see, and I'm like, I don't want them to see anything.
Well, you could start on the back, and that could be a way to convince her. My little brother,
this looks good. Yeah,
my little brother, they grow, I think, between 4 and 6 feet a year, I think. Mm-hmm. If you're they're really taking care of them, maybe it's 3 to 5 feet a year if you're taking care of them. My little brother actually ended up with – my little brother bought – when he bought his house, he lives out in Waxhaw, in one of those, like – it's like a – it's a very nice – like, he, my little brother and his family are, like, the youngest people that live there.
Yeah.
It's, like, people that already made their money, and they just live out there.
Yeah.
They're like, what are these young people? What is this black guy and Mexican woman doing?
This diversity is bringing up our property value. I like it.
It's really weird. Like, he's like, yeah, I guess I kind of got to know the neighbors because like we live next to each other. Their houses are a lot closer than ours, but they're also a lot bigger. So that's a really weird thing. But it's what I was going to say is he got Leland Cypress. His Leland Cypresses are beautiful.
Yeah.
You had one area that didn't take because of a drainage issue, and those were significantly shorter than the other ones. But his trees right now are like 16 feet tall, like tall boys.
Damn.
Like,
so they're getting the job done already.
Yeah. It's like blocking. It's blocked because they don't. It's one of those. It's one of those.
Cypress.
It's one of those neighborhoods that's like a lot of people have no fences, but it's a clear cut neighborhood, right? Where they grade out everything, take all the trees down, so they have no old trees. It's not like my neighborhood has a bunch of old trees in it still. They didn't grade it out. They just built individual houses in a whatever configuration they wanted. His is like a designed neighborhood, and most people don't have fences. Fences are like, when you work with that kind of a home builder, they're like, fences are like another option, you know? It's like that checking off boxes home building. So he didn't have he did not opt for a fence. The neighbor behind him also did not opt for a fence. The neighbor next to him also did not opt for a fence. And the neighbor to the next side of him didn't opt to a fence. And neither did the guys that live on either side of him diagonally. Neither did they opt for a fence, which means there are no fences back there. And so he was like, I got to do something to like, I just don't want people staring at me when I'm outside using the grill or working on my work in my workstation or whatever in the backyard. Put those in. They look great. They're relatively disease-free. They grow fast, and they grow together. Like a lot of one of the big issues people have is sometimes they plant them too close together,
and they start to get like tangled within.
And they grow too close together. So you got to give them a little bit of space. But they're awesome.
These look perfect, to be honest. And the price point isn't bad. I mean, I would obviously do some shopping around, but like I'm seeing some deals on here that like I could get 10 trees for like $300, and that's not bad. That's not bad at all.
The only thing about these Leland Cypress trees or really any type of evergreen because of the way they grow is if you get a bad winter storm, and this is the case for, I mean, obviously any tree, but the way these things grow, if they get top heavy, you know, if there's ice or snow that sits on these things and they snap or break.
Yeah.
Now you're in a situation where you've literally got a hole in your fence, right? And because one of these things has to come down. So I've seen that before. But Cerber, I'm telling you, man, like a couple of years from now, you might have a privacy fence of your own that's trees, which you wouldn't have to stare at your neighbors hanging out, you know,
that's
rocking.
What, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, these bad boys seem like they're going to be like Felder was saying, like 16 feet tall within, like, you know, 3 to 4 years. Let's fucking go.
Just a thought, but I think that'd be cool. Just to answer your question, I know that it's 2020 and we're still in a bit of a pandemic, but you got to talk to the guy, or you got to just say, hey.
And I just bear the brunt of, like, I'm going to pay for this, right? Like, even though it's technically on his property, it's really in my yard and I need to be the bigger man there, right?
Well, what you could do is get a quote. I mean, have somebody come out there and give you an estimate on what it would cost, and then just say, hey, here's what we're looking at. You want to split this with me? Like, the tree's dead. It's going to die, and it's going to fall.
It's going to destroy my carport.
Right.
It's not unheard of for neighbors to split the cost of a tree removal.
That's the way that we're going to go about it, is splitting that cost, because while it is on their property, it is going to hurt us more than it will probably hurt them. Okay. Especially since it's on a slope space, and if it gets pushed one way, it's going to go all through my house. So, yeah, I think so. We got one more piece of audio. This is truly a triumph. Let's play it.
Hey, Felder, I hope I got this right. Steven gave me a tutorial here. Felder, server, Steven, I wanted to tell you what was in the picture that I sent of my garden. Left to right, hydrangeas, balloon flower, irises, clematis, jasmine, geraniums, coral bells, Olympic seats, 1996 Olympics, 9 rubber trees, big rubber trees, spider plant, roses, geraniums, anise, ferns, monkey grass, sedum, lots of river rocks, and it's just my little paradise, and I love it, and it's just it's very calming out here. So, that's it. See ya. Bye.
Flex.
With the siren in the background.
Very calming. I could almost see her side eye when she said it.
She's like, it's very calming. Damn it.
This damn ambulance.
Well, Liz, that's phenomenal. That's a historic moment in the first ever voice memo that my mom has sent. So, Mom, I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
When you live in Midtown Atlanta, I've got my Olympic seats here too, by the way. The artist formerly known as Turner Field, which is now a football stadium where Georgia State plays.
Mm-hmm.
When she lives in Midtown Atlanta, she downsized when everybody left the house, and she's got a courtyard underneath her deck that she just maxes out with plants. So
yeah,
it's awesome. I know she wishes she had more space, but not when it comes to the maintenance. So
sure.
I get it. It's awesome. But yeah, the rubber trees for her, I mean, she gives clippings to everybody, and she's got some rubber plants that are probably 50 years old, you know?
I like that.
Like, no exaggeration, like ones that she took to college. So
I need to get in there. You're saying that she went to college 50 years ago?
No, but she took them from her house. I see what you did there. She took them. These are clippings, like a plant that she took to school.
Okay.
She kept alive all through college, and that it moved around with her starter home, you know, when me and my brother were babies.
Yeah,
and
I get it.
They're still there. And so we've got a couple clippings. So she just likes to have that stuff. But what's hilarious, and Felder, I mean, you're a really good sport about this, you know, this whole show came to be because you had this idea of, hey, I want to do a gardening show. I want to work in a little football talk, but I love gardening. I love plants. I think it'd be cool. And me and Serber were like, man, hell yeah, let's do it. So my mom, like, you run our social media accounts, okay?
I'm not good at it. I didn't even get to post about the most recent episode until Friday, today, because I was exhausted.
No, that's okay. It's fine. I mean, it's look, Serber does all of the stuff we do for College Sports Now and some of our podcasts, and it's a grind. Like, I felt
for Felder when I saw that the post didn't go up yesterday. I was like, man, Felder's having a rough day. I hope he has a good night.
But my mom sends all of her pictures and now all of her voice memos to you. So you are filtering all this stuff, and you'll be like, yeah, Liz texted me. Liz sent me a picture. I've got a voice memo. So you're a very good sport about all of it, and
it's great. I love it.
It's all love, but yeah, Liz is very proud of her plants. So
yeah,
that's cool. Way to go,
awesome.
Mom. Proud of you.
So you have Olympic seats at your house too?
Yeah, I've got a row of, I think it's either three or four seats. Yeah, when the Olympics were over, they knocked out center field for what would then become Turner Field, where the Braves played.
Okay.
So they auctioned off a ton of stuff after the Olympics were over, and you could bid on a row of seats from the Olympic Stadium. They've got the Olympic logo on them, and it's literally just a row of seats. So
how do you put those in your house?
Well, these have never been bolted to the ground, so they continue to kind of move around. Now that our deck is finished, I would like to bolt them to the new deck. And,
I'm not understanding still. Like, what? Like, you have to bolt, like...
It's three seats on a little, on a metal rack. And the rack comes down to the floor. So you can bolt the legs.
The rack is what stabilizes the chairs
for use
right now. Okay, yeah. That's what I was understanding. Because I remember when they redid some stuff in the Dean Dome, they auctioned off some seats. But the seats didn't, like, stand up. They were just like a seat that needed to be bolted, you know, to wood, concrete, what have you. They weren't like stationed to be sat in. That's why I was asking.
Picture in the dock, man. Picture in the dock. So feast your eyes. ATL, bro.
Yeah. Let's see what we got.
And it's like a little row of seats, man.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Ours didn't have these like stanchions on the end. When they gave out those Dean Dome seats, I don't think they had these little stanchions like yours have.
It's a piece of history.
Those look like airport chairs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're right. I mean, they're not, you know, they're not like soccer seats where it's like you're in an F1 car. You know what I mean? Like this, you see those seats on the sidelines. Soccer gets it right. I don't know if you've ever seen that, Felder. You're not a huge soccer guy.
No, I'm not a huge.
The seats that the players and coaches sit in on the bench are like
really cool.
They're like massage chairs. They look amazing.
Oh, nice.
It's probably what they have in the offices at Google or something.
Yeah, they're pretty rad. But no, these are, it's just a piece of Atlanta sports memorabilia. And
nice.
Yeah, they follow us everywhere we've gone. So.
I went to those Olympics.
What events?
I think we went to swimming. That was at Georgia Tech. And I don't remember. We went to something else too.
I drove past I have a vivid memory of driving past the Olympic torch or whatever, the flame.
Mm-hmm.
When we were going to Atlanta to fly for a vacation down to Mexico. And I remember looking up and seeing it out the window and just being like, oh, it was cool.
I also, what else was that? We went to the plaza. I think we had mugs, or not mugs, pint glasses. I don't remember if they were from McDonald's or not, but we certainly had 1996 Olympic, blah, 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 the logo and all that, pint glasses.
Did you guys trade pins too? Were you pin collectors?
Were you?
I might have a couple.
No, absolutely not. That's a hobby I'll never get into.
Okay.
Felder said, nah, hell nah.
Bro, we had all kinds. What about Pogs? Did you guys ever get into Pogs back
Still
in the
have
90s?
Pogs.
Yeah.
Still got, bro.
It was a Pog.
Oh,
wait, are you
come
serious?
On. Come on.
You don't know Pogs?
Wait, are these the little pets you take care of?
Nope.
No.
No.
Oh, I see these. I had a couple of these. I didn't care about them.
Bro, I could destroy y'all in some Pogs with the slammers.
My slammer game was on point, dog.
Nah, dude. I had an 8-ball slammer. I had a couple of like.
That's cocaine.
No. I had some crazy 8 slammers. I had some spider slammers. I had
I
one
was
of those.
Deep in the crazy 8s game.
Bro, I would destroy you.
I had these. So how big was your tube that you kept them in?
I mean, I had several. Are you joking? Like, I had a shoebox of tubes.
Bro, my tubes were so... I had two big tubes that were like 3 feet long, all my Pogs up in there.
Dude, I would play you in Pogs, and I would literally take all your Pogs, and you'd probably go home crying because all your Pogs were then mine.
That's what I was doing, man. I was taking Pogs.
I had a kid in my neighborhood who was literally like, can I have my Pogs back? And I was like, no. What are you talking about,
keeps.
Bro? We're playing for pink slips here, man. Papers.
Yeah.
These are mine.
After school special?
After school, during school, it didn't matter, man. I had a mat.
You guys get down with marbles?
Nah, I didn't fuck with marbles.
I fuck with marbles. I got all my marbles in the living room right now from when I was a kid. Bunch of badass marbles.
We played marbles, too, when I was a kid. That was a thing that we used to play. Like, you just take some chalk. We used to steal chalk. When I was in elementary school, we used to steal chalk from the teacher. And then you draw your little circle out there. And we just would break out our little bags of marbles. Because marbles, Pogs is just marbles.
Similar. Yes, certainly similar. Do you play for keeps in marbles?
Heck yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Dude, you get those, you get the shooters, the big shooters with the cat eyes in them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, boy.
See, I think this stuff's going to come back, man. Like, I'm telling you. Like, remember when yo-yos came back for a little bit and all of a sudden people were like...
Oh, I had yo-yos people and I was like, good.
Yo, Jacob's Ladder, I'm just going to walk this dog down the hall.
Walk the dog, Jacob's Ladder.
And, like, I'm telling you, Pogs are going to come back. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And when it does, I'm going to cash in. I've got him ready. I can't wait.
Do you guys play Jax too?
Yep.
Because when you said, I think things are going to come back, I think Jax is the thing that could be the easiest comeback.
Dude, I would fucking destroy people in Jax. Like, yeah. So my grandmother, I hung out with my grandma a lot when I was a little kid, like when my parents were at work. And I think the game that she played most when she was a little kid in Germany was Jax, because she taught me her shine. And I remember the first time we ever played Jax in school, like the kids were not fully versed in what we were doing. And I went in there and I was just like immediately smoking fools. And I was the champion of fucking Jax. Like, no one wanted to play with me because I destroyed them.
Yeah.
I was like, bounce, get all your fucking Jax.
Yeah. Bounce, get the Jax, catch the ball. Let's go.
What y'all know about pencil pop?
Pencil pop? Are you talking about pencil fighting?
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Bro.
What you know about getting those big choo-choos?
I was more of a Ticonderoga guy when it came to the pencil pop. I mean, natural wood pencils all day, but...
We used to rock those choo-choos, those big boys, the thick yellow ones that were for dumb kids to write with.
That's not legal. Hang on. I'm going to let you walk that back, okay? I'm going to let you walk that back because, A, you can't bring one of those to a pencil pop match, and, B, those were special needs children, so... Let's just say
No. These were not special needs kids. These were kids that just could not hold a regular size pencil. Yeah. I'm not talking special needs.
Nah, choo-choo pencils, you could not bring those to the arena for pencil pop. No, that's not how this worked. You had to bring your standard width, girth pencil. You couldn't roll out some big boy. No, that wasn't allowed.
You know what was really good for when we used to do pencil fights? Lisa Frank pencils. Surprisingly tough.
I had a pack of NFL teams pencils. Remember those?
Yeah.
And I had a couple that I would be like, I'm going to sacrifice these because I don't like these teams. You know what I'm saying?
Fuck
like
this Cowboys pencil.
Like, fuck this Cleveland Browns pencil, man. Fuck this Cincinnati Bengals. But, like, the Green Bay Packers or the Miami Dolphins, man.
Hang on to those.
Prize possessions, dude.
Look at that. Guys, we covered a lot of ground in the show, including pencil fighting.
We call it pencil pop, man. I've never heard it called pencil fighting. That might be some kind of North Kakalaki thing, man.
Yeah, we called it pencil fighting.
What if pencil pop came back?
Did it ever leave?
I don't know if it left. Write us in. Let us know. If you have kids that are in elementary school, are they pencil fighting?
Probably not.
Pencil popping?
They all have mechanical pencils.
Well, that's what I don't know. Do they use mechanical pencils now?
No.
Right. Kids are still using regular pencils. And if they're using that, then they got to be whacking those things against each other.
You need a Barado Black Warrior, dog.
Those are good.
Those are real fucking pencils.
Those are good. Those are also way too adult of a pencil for a kid.
Dude, I'm going to watch some YouTube pencil pop videos because they're on here. I'm going to watch a few.
Are they really?
Yeah.
I saw one. I saw the one old school with a K.
Old school pencil pop game in the hood. These dudes are getting after it. Yeah. Bang.
A couple pros.
It's all about, it's all about the wind up. This dude just broke his own pencil because he tried to do it too hard. That's
the one you can't have happen, man, right?
Yeah, you can't have that.
Papa Dre 123. I like your video, dog.
Dude, this is a classic. Like,
you got Bobby Beats, Pencil Pop, Vol 2.
I'm telling you guys, Pencil Pop's going to come back.
I think it's still here. The 13 years ago, they were still doing
No, it's not still here, man. Cyberbullying is here. Everybody's got their own iPhone in school. They're not playing Pencil Pop. They're sexting. Like, I'm telling you.
Pencil Pop's coming. No, you're right. My wife is a school counselor. They are sexting or cutting. One of the two things.
Pencil Pop needs a return, a triumphant return. We need to find a way to bring this back. We got to bring it back. I don't know how.
Gosh, man, these videos are – I haven't talked for a while because I'm just watching this video.
Yeah.
That's remarkable. All right, guys, folks, make sure you rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. We need some more reviews, man. And need some more reviews. Would love to hear from you from a feedback standpoint. Hit us up at HitDPod on all social and HitDPod@gmail.com. On that, for Serber, for Hartzell, I'm Michael Felder. Let's grow.
Trick or treat.
Smell my feet.
On Saturday.
Oh, we're keeping all that in.